Deaths among Edmonton's homeless population have spiked. Immigration Minister Mark Miller has announced a cap on the number of temporary residents to be permitted in Canada. Economic and Energy Minister in Quebec admits that there are way too many cars on the road, though his government's only made the problem worse. Negotiations continue in Qatar to find an end to Israel's attack on Gaza, and a bomb blast kills several in Kandahar City. Good morning. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. In 2023, 302 people without a fixed address in Edmonton died, new data from Alberta's Ministry of Justice shows. And the number of homeless people who've died annually has spiked significantly. Paige Parsons from CBC reports that in 2019, 37 people died in Edmonton who were homeless. That is a more than tenfold increase to 302 in 2023. In Calgary, there was a similar jump from 51 people in 2019 to 294. Parsons notes that there was also a rise in the overall homeless population in Edmonton as well. It doubled during the pandemic. But still, this increase far outpaces the rate of the rise of the population in general. The deaths are mostly from drug poisoning, but outreach workers say that they know people who are dying from hypothermia and smoke inhalation and burns as they try to stay warm. Parsons also cites other cities' data to show that these are broader trends. In British Columbia, I guess in the entire province, this seems low, but anyway, the number has gone from a few dozen reported deaths a decade ago to 342 deaths in 2022. In Toronto, the number went from 94 in 2018 up to 223 in 2021. It was 191 in 2022. And it's really interesting to see how much higher the Edmonton data is than Toronto. So Edmonton's past 300, Toronto's 191. What's one big difference? I mean, Toronto's a much larger city and has a much larger homeless population than Edmonton does. But one of the big differences is the cold. Frankly, it's obviously the cold. Parsons also talks with Dr. Cameron Barr, who works with street-involved individuals. He said that one in seven of his patients died from March 2020 to March 2023. He says that his patients need a lot of support, and it goes far beyond just addictions treatment. With lice infestations and other communicable diseases plaguing Edmonton's shelter system, it's not reasonable to expect that people want to actually stay there. Barr says, quote, no level of government and no political party has done enough to actually make a substantial dent in the number of people who are suffering with homelessness. It's just been a cavalcade of failure from top to bottom. So far in 2024, one group that's been mapping these deaths and keeping track of the data said that they're aware of 72 deaths among homeless Edmontonians already. That is 72 people dying in 78 days. Next, Immigration Minister Mark Miller has announced that he wants to limit the number of temporary residents who come to Canada each year to be no higher than 5% of the total population. That would represent a drop of about 1.2%. Laura Osman and Nojun Almalis at the Canadian Press report that this would be a quote-unquote soft cap, and the first target will be set for September, presumably for the school year and presumably to bypass the growing season. Miller said that Canada is quote-unquote addicted to temporary workers and that there needs to be sustainability built into Canada's temporary resident programs. Canada's population grew by its largest rate of growth of any quarter since 1957 in the past quarter. Osman and Almalis report that three quarters of that growth was quote unquote driven by non-permanent residents. Now, the story is light on numbers. The journalists mentioned that the spike is due to, quote, higher international student enrollments at post-secondary institutions, as well increased use of temporary worker programs, unquote, but doesn't actually say anything about the numbers, how much higher the temporary foreign worker programs are bringing more people into Canada, and of course, how many more international students are being brought to Canada. There's also been 300,000 Ukrainians who have come to Canada, too. That number is included in the article. Now, this here is a pretty funny line that they've included. Quote, economists have raised concern about the increase in migrant workers in recent years, warning that the federal programs discourage employers from innovating by offering up cheap labor, unquote. I don't know what the word innovation means there exactly, whether they mean that they should be innovating themselves out of needing low-wage workers, or they should be innovating themselves into increasing everyone's wages, or if they should be innovating themselves to not need to have total control over the lives of their workers, from where they live and what they eat to what they do on the job. And there, I'm specifically thinking of migrant workers who work on farms. But anyway, they just throw that line in there, and I thought I'd share that with you. The group Migrant Workers Alliance for Change called on the government to stop playing around with caps and instead ensure a decent quality of life for temporary residents, like give them things like higher wages and permanent status. Next, and this is mostly a funny story to me, so sorry, you have to bear with me. Pierre Fitzgibbon, the Minister of the Economy and Energy in Quebec, has quote-unquote come under fire for stating the very obvious fact. We have too many cars. There are too many cars on the road, and they're causing things like, quote, Montreal no longer works, unquote, he told the Journal de Québec. It's always funny when people talk about how Montreal works or doesn't work to Quebecers. I mean, Quebec city-ers. Quote, on weekends, there are too many cars, unquote, he said. That's right, Pierre. That's right, man. You're totally right. Kalina Laframboise and Timothy Sargent from Global News also quoted him saying that the cars are getting too big, which is also right. Like, drivers barely can see over their side view mirror when they're standing beside them in this province. In Montreal, truck ownership has jumped by 13% since 2017. This is an exceedingly funny thing for Fitzgibbon to say, as his party has not managed to deliver a single public infrastructure project that they promised when they were first elected to improve public transit. And the recent budget has no new public transit projects at all in it. The money dedicated to new projects that have previously been announced is in decline. I'll just mention that Quebec City's tramway project, which is half-funded by the feds and has been studied for years, was put on ice when the Coalition Avenir Quebec lost a by-election in Quebec City. The CAC's delay is adding costs to the project, which is badly needed. So yeah, Fitzgibbon is right, but also he's literally part of why Montreal no longer works. Next to Qatar, where negotiations are ongoing between the United States, Qatar, and Egypt to negotiate a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The U.S. plans to put a resolution for a truce to a vote at the UN Security Council. The truce would allow a hostage swap between Israel and Hamas and open up a humanitarian aid corridor. Hamas refuses to release any hostages until, you know, Israel ends its war, which is a position that makes total sense. In fact, it's the only position that makes sense. Israel wants to be able to continue to murder children and adults once the prisoner swap is completed and refuses to do anything permanently. These talks are happening while Israel continues to lay siege to the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza City. Israel has engaged in targeted killings and destruction of the only working medical facility in the center or north of Gaza. Reuters has seen the text that the U.S. will bring to the Security Council, and it calls for a six-week ceasefire. To pass the motion, 9 members of the Security Council must vote in favor, and the United States, Britain, Russia, China, or France cannot veto it. The European Union has just called for a ceasefire. And finally to Afghanistan, where a suicide bombing in front of a bank in Kandahar City has killed 3 people, at least, and injured 12 others. Reports say that the death toll is much higher. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack on Telegram. It happened at 8 a.m. and targeted people who were waiting outside of the new Kabul bank. The people were waiting to collect their salaries. The nephew of one of the victims, Khalal Ahmed, decried the lack of security. The nephew, Mohammed Safiq Siraj, told Al Jazeera this, quote, we beg for security to be properly maintained in the country and especially in crowded places, and that our nation be saved from this kind of tragedy, unquote. These kinds of events, bombings and suicide bombings, have dropped significantly since the Taliban took power in 2021. Those are your headlines for Friday, March 22nd. I'm Nora. It's Friday. Oh, finally. I hope you've got some plans for the weekend. I don't myself. Oh yeah, St. Patrick's Day, because we do it here really late. You're listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on the other side.